All right, we picked off with a little bit of the thesis statement and a little bit of boundary setting that we need to engage in. So some of the boundaries are as follows. The Reformation was 1517. We had the Council of Trent in the 1545. And that was the golden age for of many things, one of which were the Jesuits. And another was religious wars. So that by the mid-1600s, an uneasy truce between the warring factions of religious territories existed. This sad situation of warring Christians gave rise to a desire to find a reasonable religion and the birth of revolutions and modernisms. And this text will stand at the beginning of modernism. Those who were of this age, I love them. They know how to sell themselves. They called it the Age of Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Louis XV, the beloved King of France, 1715 to 1774, because this is a French work. His father, Louis XIV, the Sun King, 1638 to 1715. The educated of the day read René Descartes, Descartes' Meditations, Metaphysics, 1641, Thomas Hobbes, Leviathan, 1651, and Isaac Newton's Principia Mathematica, 1687, among others. And I do have prior episodes on modern philosophy, should you care to avail yourselves. Saints of the early 1700s, so his contemporaries, would be St. Louis de Montfort, 1673 to 1716. Sarah mentioned him, True Devotion to Mary, in the last episode. And a doctor of the church, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, 1696 to 1787. The life of Western civilization changed because of the emergence of modern science, and also of a new approach to philosophy based solely on reason, and of the rearrangement of the whole political system in most of Europe, and that eventually affected much of the world. The foundation of Western society was shaken to its base. Newton pioneered physics and Robert Boyle chemistry. These sciences not only revolutionized the physical understanding of the universe, but gave birth to the application of science to practical problems, technology. Progress based in science and technology became a major goal. And that desire for progress and measurement, so forth, goes into philosophy and it goes into theology as well. Frenchman René Descartes, 1596 to 1650, taught that every concept, so here's René Descartes going straight in to religion and philosophy, every concept should be questioned or doubted until reason now becomes the judge. The emphasis of human reason is called rationalism. One aspect of these emerging philosophies was the rejection of Christianity, and those who were Christians were unenlightened. Thus, the Christian religion was relegated to the private sphere of one's personal life, and it was excluded from public discourse. So, friends, I'm trying to put him into historical context. I have two works I immediately go to. The first is Alan Schreck's The Compact History of the Catholic Church. It's the revised edition. I'm not sure if he's still at Steubenville, but he was when this was written. The second one is Epic, A Journey Through Church History, Steve Weidenkopf's work. This is the companion book to go with Steve Weidenkopf's kind of workbook. This, like the Great Adventures in Church History, Great Adventures in Scripture, has a nice little deal there, fold out. And you can take a look and see where you are. If you want to go deeper, which I did not feel the need to do, I thought we had enough information at this point. Warren Carroll has a multi-volume set. And if it was a topic he deemed worthy to put in his history, he would do it. He doesn't put everything I think is important, but he certainly puts everything he thinks is important. And he, of course, has a university to his name, and I do not. Right. So. Christendom in Manassas. All right. So, any thoughts on the historical? Because we're going to go right now into Jean-Pierre. So now we know his time frame that he lived, the issues facing that time period. And now we're going to look to see how he approaches it.
I think that there are a lot of important parallels, right? This right now we're living under a world of, you know, scientism, you know, where the only thing that has, and we're going to say that I think that there are some interesting parallels in terms of the intellectual thought, or I would call intellectual errors that were beginning to infect the populace at large. Like you had said, there was the shift in government, right, to from a monarchy to more of the concept of a democratic reality, and just this bowing down, I guess that's not really what I want to say, but a deference that was given to the scientific community, because things were being discovered, and in a rapid way, the human progress of the mind, of being able to know things, there was kind of a rapid ascent at that moment. And I think that we can say that we're in a similar situation where we have a radical, I keep using that term, my apologies, but a radical movement towards a concept of democracy that is going to be, I think, devastating to the human person, right? At the same time that we have this cult of sciences. So I think that there are a large number of parallels that can be looked at based upon that historical setting in which this book was presented to the Christian church at large, and one that I think that we need also, because with that rapid change comes an unsettling in the human soul. And I think many people feel that right now.
They certainly do. They certainly do. All right, friends. We have now looked at the overall tenor of the book. We've looked at the historical time period in a very over 30,000 view. Let's take up Father de Cassade in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fides adratio.